All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 10. 1 Kings, chapter 10. Just a reminder, next Sunday, Dr. Glenn Matthews is going to be with us all day, and he is ready and raring to go. I called him about a month or so ago, 2 months ago now, I guess, just to check on him, see how he was doing, and he answered the phone all energetic and excited, and he was preaching here and preaching there and had a revival meeting in southern Ohio, and all kinds of things were on the docket, and I said, well, good, I'm so glad to hear you're doing well. And he said, I just have one more thing I want to do one more time before I go to heaven. And I said, oh, good grief, quit talking like that. And I said, you're going to hang around till the big crowd goes. I said, well, what's that one thing? I knew what it was. And he said, I want to come back to the Church of the Open Door and preach in the greatest church in America just one more time. And I said, all right, well, when do you want to come? And so November 14th or 12th is when he said, and 14th is my wife's birthday. And the 12th, and so he'll be here next Sunday for the day. Spend Sunday morning and Sunday night with us. So be ready for that. Bring somebody with you. Invite somebody to come with you. And we'll look forward to a good day. Just a reminder that we have this thing this evening at 6 o'clock. It's called evening service. Okay, evening service, and you can read about it in the bulletin there, right in front of you. And so, so I want to encourage you to be here for that. All right. 1 Kings 10. Are you there? All right, let me begin reading, please, in verse 1, and then we're going to turn for a moment over to the Gospel of Matthew for just a moment, and then come back and stay here in 1 Kings. But I want you to follow along as I read. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack right in front of you. And verse 1 says, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. All right, so here is the Queen of Sheba. Now, Sheba, if you in your mind's eye can picture the country of Saudi Arabia today, all right, down at the bottom of Saudi Arabia, there are two countries, all right? The one that's towards the southwest of that peninsula, the Arabian Peninsula, is the country today of Yemen, all right? And it is controlled by a bunch of terrorists called the Houthis, okay? And they're lobbing rockets, and they better stop or they're going to pay for it. And so far, we've been able to shoot them all down. We, because the United States has been the one shooting them down. They hit one with the Patriot missile, and then they hit one with an F-16, or no, it was an F-22, and knocked it right out of the air. So the technology that we have developed in this country is just absolutely amazing and getting better all the time. But anyway, that's where Sheba is. And she was the queen of that territory. She was the queen of that region. And so she now comes to Jerusalem, and she is, after hearing the fame of Solomon, and she's going to ask him questions that are on her mind. All right, verse 2. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train. All right, now a train is like a big long group of people behind her, all right? So she is important, she's wealthy beyond comprehension, and she's all that. So when she comes, they escort her in a great way. And the rest of it says, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. In other words, he answered everything that she questioned him on. There was not one thing that she asked that Solomon did not answer for her. And so let's read on. It says, verse 4, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table, in other words, the food that was set on his table, and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. In other words, she's all that, all right? You understand what I'm saying? She's a big deal, okay? She is a big deal. But when she goes to Jerusalem and runs into Solomon, she finds out that she's not all that big a deal in comparison to him, all right? He is it. I mean, he is it. When you think about living like a king, he lives like a king ought to live. And it impressed her. She was impressed. All right. Then verse 6, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words. Now notice that. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Wow. All right. I want to speak to you this morning from that passage and one other. Go over, please, hold your place here because we're coming back. But go over for just a moment to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. All right, now it's the Sabbath day And the Pharisees are after the Lord. They're listening to every word, and they're trying to trick him. They're trying to deceive him. And in verse 6, look at what verse 6 says. It says, Jesus says, but I say unto you that in this place, in other words, where they were in Jerusalem, in the temple area, that in this place is one, what's the next word? Greater than the temple. You say, well, what's the point there? Well, what Jesus was saying is he is greater than religion. He's greater than religion. You know, nobody ever got to heaven through religion. Do you know that? That's true. Nobody ever got to heaven through religion. It won't get you there. The only thing that's going to get you there is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not religion. So verse 6, I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. All right, now jump over, please, to verse 39. In verse 39, it says, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous a generation seeketh a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So what Jesus is saying to them here is that he is better than any of their prophets. Now, the prophets gave the word. They gave the message. But no prophet ever saved anybody. Okay? No preacher ever saved anyone. You know, I had a fellow come to me one time in the office when I was out in Joliet, Illinois. And he came in, sat down. He said, I want you to absolve my sins. And I went, how? How? He said, well, I don't know, however y'all do it. I can't absolve your sins. I'm sorry. It wouldn't do me a bit of good to even try. But I know somebody who can. And that was the direction that I took him in. In just a little while, the Lord Jesus had not only absolved him, but he had forgiven them. Never to be remembered against him anymore. All right? Then look at verse 42. In verse 42, it says, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth. And believe me, Yemen is the uttermost parts of the earth. It's down there where nothing is. Nothing. Okay, I mean, it's not at the end of the world, but you could see the end of the world from there. All right, that's how far out Yemen still is today. There is nothing down there but sand. Sand, that's it. Okay, a tree here and there, but mostly sand. All right, so it says, she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now watch, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now what's Jesus saying there? Jesus is saying that he is better, greater than our politicians who run things on this planet. So much better. You know, if the Lord was in control, we wouldn't be having all this mess that we're having today, would we? No, everything would be great. And that's what we've got to look forward to, because at the end of the tribulation period, the Messiah, the Son of God, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is coming back to sit upon the throne of David and rule and reign for 1,000 years. Man, it's going to be good when he comes back. All right? All right, that's the introduction. Y'all got all that? All right, let's pray. And then I want to speak to you on a greater than Solomon. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word. I pray you'll bless this to our hearts. We are so thankful that we have such a wonderful Savior as the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior is greater than religion. He is certainly greater than politicians. He's greater than the preachers. There is no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray you'll bless and help us this morning to see our Savior is the greater than anything else. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The news about Solomon had spread, and the glory of his kingdom had spread everywhere. In those days, when Solomon was on the throne in Israel, in Jerusalem, you need to understand that all roads led through Jerusalem. If you went from Africa to Asia, if you went from Asia to Africa, you had to go through Jerusalem. If you went from Africa to Europe, or from Europe to Africa, you had to go through Jerusalem. I mean, it was the what they called the highway of the kings, and it was traversed regularly. There were caravans on it as people were. Think of it this way: it was like the trucking industry of the day. You get a string of camels as far as the eye can see, and loaded down with goods, and it traversed right through the city of Jerusalem. And so whichever way those traders went, they had to go through Jerusalem. And when they came through Jerusalem, they saw the glory that was the kingdom and the person of Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, according to what we know from the Bible. He was rich beyond comprehension, as God had blessed him. He was given the opportunity to get anything he wanted from the Lord, and what he asked for was wisdom. And God gave him more wisdom than anyone has ever had, except, of course, our Savior. So you can imagine that the fame of this man went into distant lands where no doubt the Queen of Sheba even heard of that greatness. Now, the news penetrated all the way down into the south, what is called today Yemen, but they was called the land of Sheba. And that land had a very astute, a very wise in her own way, a very prominent queen. And she heard about Solomon and how wonderful he was, the great king that he was. And so she wanted to come and see him. Now, not only did she hear about Solomon, but she heard about the God that Solomon worshiped. Folks, you could not go through that area without being impressed with the temple that Solomon had built in when he took over the throne. Now, you remember, King David was not allowed to build the temple because he had so much blood on his hands. But he got the thing ready. All of the stone was cut. It was all ready. All of the timbers were cut. They were all ready. I mean, everything was just put together and stacked up like you would put together a prefabricated home. And so when Solomon started to building the temple, it went up in no time because the pieces were already there. It was already cut. It was already on the Temple Mount. Everything was ready to go. And so you could not go through that area without seeing the majesty and the splendor and the glory that was King Solomon. And so this old gal down in Sheba heard about it, and she was absolutely amazed when she heard. She wanted to come and see for herself what others had been saying to her. So she packed up a caravan and she came to visit Jerusalem and to see this great sight for herself. So imagine she comes with a caravan that is just loaded with everything. I mean, she's bringing gold and spices and precious stones and gifts from her land to Solomon, probably things that they did not have ready access to, spices and so forth, and she was bringing them to Solomon as a gift. Now, There's a beautiful picture here that I want us to consider this morning. We learned a moment ago in Matthew that Solomon, in all of his splendor and glory, was nothing compared to the splendor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? He was great. He was, what he did was amazing. He had God's hand upon him and did some amazing things. But do not miss the point. Jesus was a greater than Solomon. And so, with all of his splendor and glory, Jesus was still greater than Solomon. And we see here a picture of the way an unsaved person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, if you're going to come to the Lord Jesus to be saved, you got to come as a sinner in need of a Savior. You have to come humbled. You have to come not presenting the Lord with the works of your hands or the things that you can do. No, you come by blind faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's how you come. You come with a broken heart in need of a Savior. Now, see the picture here, folks. She was a stranger. She did not know Solomon. She was a stranger coming to see a man that she had never met. She had heard about him, but she did not know him. She had never yet met him. And so see the picture, if you will. She's a stranger, and she comes, and when she saw him and got to know him, she said to him, "I have heard an awful lot of things about you, but having been here now and in your presence, I declare the half has never yet been told." The half has never yet been told. You know, I guess all of us who have experienced this, if we have truly been saved and born again, I mean, I guess all of us have experienced that same thing, haven't we? I know I did. I mean, I'd heard about the Lord before I got saved. I'd heard about the Lord. My mother talked about the Lord all the time. My mother would sit and read the Bible to us and read passages of Scripture about the Lord, and then she would pray and ask God to help us understand what she had just read. I mean, you know, I'd heard about him, and I'm sure before you were saved, you had heard about him too. I heard about his love and his grace and his goodness and his mercy. I heard before about his compassion. I heard about his kindness and his graciousness. All these things I had heard. My mom told me about him. I would go to church when I was a little guy. I'd go to church and Sunday school, and I heard all that stuff. But I'm telling you, when I was 16 years old and I heard the gospel and understood it, when I came to the Lord on that Sunday morning and when I gave my heart to him and accepted him as my personal Savior, I can tell you right now that for 53 years now, I have lived my life serving him. And do you know, I can honestly understand what this woman is saying. The half, even all that I've learned in 53 years of being saved, the half has never yet been told. Folks, you just wait till we get to glory and you walk in those streets of gold and stand before the throne. And you look over on that throne, and there sitting on the throne is the Lamb of God as though he had been slain. Oh, you just talk about something that's gonna make you fall on your face and cry, "Worthy is the Lamb." That is going to do it. You mark my word. I know, folks, I don't think you ought to get excited in church. Well, I hope I'm standing near you when we get before the throne. I'm going to turn around and look at you and say, what's wrong with you? What's your problem? Amen. Some of you are going to have a running, slobbering fit. That's what you're going to do. Y'all don't know anything about that, do you? Running, slobbering fit. You have to go be down south to see that. Man, have I seen that. Woo! When I was a junior in college, Dr. Stenholm would call me to his office, and he'd say, "Hey, I've got a church. I want you to go down and preach it this Sunday." And I'd say, "Oh, okay, I'll be glad to." And so he would give me the church and give me the address for it. And it's normally about half an hour, 45-minute drive from Greenville. And I would go down to these little churches out in the middle of nowhere and preach. And man, I mean, you get going and they get going. And then I've seen them just get up and run around the auditorium. And they'd run through a door over here, and you'd hear them out in the hallway, out in the foyer, just hooting and hollering as they come. And then that door would fly open. You say, "What'd you do?" I just stood there and watched them run, you know, looking through all the windows. That's what I do. Yeah. A running, slobbering fit. That's what we used to call it. Man, I'm telling you, it's exciting sometimes. It's something like that shake us up, you know? Get a little life in us. All right, now, three things real quickly. Number one, I want you to notice she was abundantly rewarded for her long trip. Abundantly rewarded. Man, I remember when I got saved, I was abundantly rewarded. I got up off of that altar, and I point to the left, my left, your right, because right over there, if this were the church, I got saved at an altar right off to the preacher's left hand. And when I got off of my knees, I wasn't crying, I wasn't shouting, I wasn't rejoicing verbally out loud. Here's what I did. When I got up off my knees, I went like this. I went, whew. You know why? Because the burden was lifted. That burden of sin that I had carried for 16 and a half years. All the rebellion, all of the wickedness, all of the everything that went on was just... It's just like the burden was lifted. Boy, don't we sing "Burdens Are Lifted" at Calvary? All the half has never yet been told, folks. You just imagine when you get to heaven and your body, this old sinful body, you get a new glorified body. Man, it's going to be exciting. Well, she was abundantly rewarded for her long trip. Look at verse 6 and verse 7 of our text of chapter 10 in 1 Kings. The Bible says, "And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine own eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I have heard." Folks, I found out when I got saved that the half had never yet been told. I found out that the one that I gave my heart to was more than able, more than capable. He could do anything that he wanted to do. I found out that he could take an old, wicked sinner like me and save my soul and put a new heart in me and a new set of lips on me so that which came out of my mouth was not in blasphemy to him, but was in praise to him. And if he did that for me, he could do that for you. Do you know him this morning? You say, well, I've heard about him. She did too. You say, well, I've heard quite a bit about him. Yeah, she did too. But when she came finally to see him, she found out she didn't know the half of it. And my friend, whatever you need, I'm telling you right here this morning, the Lord Jesus is your answer. Amen. You know, the whole world says, well, we're looking, we're searching. Why? Why? Just come to Jesus. Just give your heart to the Lord. He is the one. Now, go back to that sixth verse for just a moment. She said, it was a true report that I heard. I like that. A true report. What do we know about this book right here? And what do we know about the Savior that's in this book? We know he's true, don't we? He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. He's not a truth, he's the truth. The only truth. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we got it. The Lord Jesus is it, folks. And when you come to him and put your faith in him, you're going to find out the half has never been told. Every time I read this, I think about John chapter 4 and the bad Samaritan. All right, now you know the story of the good Samaritan, right? Well, John 4 has the story of the bad Samaritan, that Samaritan woman. And she comes to the well with her water pots, and she's going to draw water in the middle of the day when everybody else is staying out of the hot Middle Eastern sun. She comes by herself, and lo and behold, when she gets there, who's there? Jesus is there. And she starts talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, can you draw me a drink? Can you draw me a drink of water? And then she kind of fusses and argues with him a little bit about it. Why are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, to give you water? And then Jesus said, well, you know, ma'am, truth be told, if you knew who you were speaking to, you would want me to give you water. Well, that just blew her mind. You know, she said, well, you don't have anything to draw with. But of course, he was not talking about physical water, was he? And so he kept on until he won her to himself. And she believed, she trusted him. And the Bible says that she took off running, just ran back to the city of Samaria. And when she went in town, here's what she said. Come see a man what told me all things ever I have done. Come see a man. Hey, he knows it all, doesn't he? Huh? He knows it all. Yes, sir. Just like Solomon knew it all, and hit, you know, so to speak. But come see a man. And notice, she left her water pot by the well. She didn't even take the water pot with her back to Samaria. You see, you don't need the water pot when you get the whole well, do you? Amen. Amen. And so, she comes back with all the town. The whole town's coming. And Jesus said, look, guys, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Boy, that's so true, isn't it? I mean, come and see a man what told me all things I ever did. Her testimony, folks, here it is. Her testimony was enough to make all of the people in Samaria come and see the Lord Jesus. You see, folks, personal knowledge And she now had that personal knowledge of the Lord. Personal knowledge never comes from hearsay. You have to come and experience it yourself. I could stand up here and talk about the Lord until I'm blue in the face and we're all starving to death. But the truth of the matter is, I wouldn't tell you half the story. But if I did that, what benefit would it be to you unless you put your faith in the Lord? You see, we got to put our faith in Christ. Second thing, real quick, we're running out of time. She wonderfully, wonderfully had all her questions answered. Look at verse 3. It says, and Solomon told her all her questions. Man, she just sat there and rattled them off, and Solomon just sat there and rattled off answers. I like that. I like that. I mean, she was inquisitive, but Solomon had the answers for her. Our greater than Solomon can solve all the difficulties that you and I face. All of them. He's the answer, folks. To the queen, the principal thing was wisdom. She was filled with questions, but knew not the answer. So she came to someone that she heard knew all the answers. And folks, Jesus is the answer. And she was not disappointed, was she? Not disappointed at all. To you that sit here this morning, or you're listening on the live stream this morning, and you wonder what it's all about. Well, I can tell you right now, Jesus has the answer to that question. He has the answer to that. And I tell you something, folks, listen to me. When the time comes and death is knocking on your doorstep, the answer is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so many times we see folks that just reject Christ and reject Christ and reject Christ. And then they get down to the wire on this thing called life and have to go out into eternity. Brethren, listen, here's the answer to that. Jesus, you got to get saved or you're not going to make it to heaven. She came and asked the questions, and he had the answers. You come and ask the questions, and the Lord Jesus is going to have your answers. To you that sit here and wonder why things are the way they are, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. You wonder about life. Well, Jesus is the answer to life. I mean, we come to him that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. You know, I've heard folks say, if I come to the Lord, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. No. You come to the Lord, you're going to want to do things. Amen. Well, if I get saved, I got to go to church. No, you'll want to come to church. You'll want to hear what God has to say. Well, if I get saved, I'm going to have to quit drinking. No, you get saved, you're going to want to quit drinking. Amen. Amen. My friend, listen. You trust in the Lord as your Savior, and you're going to find your difficulties are going to vanish away. Well, I get saved, but those hypocrites. Well, you might as well get saved and join the rest of us hypocrites. All right? We got room for one more. We'll take you. Yep, we'll take you. I can see it now. You get in a car accident and the ambulance comes to pick you up. And when they put you in the back and shut the doors, you look at the EMT and say, where are we going? They say, well, we're going to Carroll County. No, don't take me there. There's hypocrites there. There's hypocrites everywhere, folks. Not only are there hypocrites over at Carroll County Hospital, they're up at York Hospital, too. and Hanover Hospital and Johns Hopkins and University and Sinai and the rest of them. I mean, if you had any sense at all, you'd say, just get me somewhere. Always room for one more. Yes. Then thirdly, lastly, what she gave was nothing in comparison to what she received. She brought gifts, but then when it was time to go home, he loaded her up with all the goodies that she could imagine. But not only that, all the wisdom that he had to offer. Wouldn't it be great to go to heaven and know that you've spent your life learning his book, learning his word, loving his word? You spent your life telling others about Jesus. Oh, there's nothing like it, folks. Absolutely nothing like it. I mean, she brought spices and gold and precious stones and invaluable things to which Solomon would have had a hard and difficult time to come by. But Solomon gave her all that she desired. If you look at verse 13, I did not read it, but it says, "And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desires, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants." I mean, he loaded her up, didn't he? And you know, when I came to the Lord, I thought, well, all right, I got to give this up now, and I got to give that up. And I got a whole lot more than what I ever gave up. I had a bunch of friends. I mean, if you looked up the word heathen in the dictionary, all their pictures were there. Seriously. I mean, just heathens. And that list of friends was few. They were few. We wouldn't let anybody else in, but there were a lot of people that didn't want to get in. But then I got saved. And now look at all my friends. I got a bunch of friends, new friends. And I trust you guys. I wouldn't, well, most of you. Yeah, there's an exception or two, yeah. You see, folks, you can't go wrong coming to the Lord. Amen. You're going to get so much more. You know, here's another thing. Before I got saved, if you had asked me, should you die, do you know where you're going? Well, I knew where I was going. I most certainly knew where I was going. I would have looked you square in the eye and said, hell. Yep, that's where I'm going. You know, since I got to know him, I don't fear hell at all. Amen. Not at all. According to this Bible right here, since I got saved, I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. That's right. Go over and read John 10. It'll blow you away. I'm in Christ's hand. And he wraps his hand around me. And then God Almighty puts his hand over that. And Jesus said, you see that right there? Nothing can get you out of that. That means no sin, no devil, no demon, no preacher, nothing can get you out of the hand of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You're safe. You're safe in Christ. Oh, you get so much more than what you received. So much more. It doesn't get any better than that, does it? Hallelujah, we're going to heaven. I probably told you all this before, but several years ago, John Rice was preaching in a tent meeting down in Texas. And this guy, after the tent meeting, of course, John Rice preached on everything. He started at A and went all the way to Z, preaching on sin. And I don't know if there's a Z sin, but if there was, he found it, I'll tell you that. But anyway, this guy came up to him and had a gun in his hand. And he said, "I'm just going to kill you." And Dr. Rice looked down at him. Dr. Rice, a big man. Dr. Rice looked down at that little fellow and he said, "Son, you can't scare me with heaven," and just turned around and went about his business. I guess he was serious, wasn't he? "Can't scare me with heaven." Didn't make him stop. He just kept going. You say, "Well, what if that guy had shot him?" He went to heaven. So what? To be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. You win no matter what. Now, folks, listen. You've heard us brag about him. You've heard our testimony. You've heard us sing about him. We sung about him three times out of the hymnal this morning. We sung about him in the choir. Cheryl sung about him. I mean, you've heard all of us brag on him. And all I can say to you is, no matter how much we brag on him, the half has never yet been told. You'll be abundantly rewarded when you come to him. You'll have all your questions answered when you come to him. And what you give will be nothing in comparison to what you get in return. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, please. No one looking around for just a moment. My friend, do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Do you know the Lord? Are you sure that you're going to heaven when you die? Well, I want to tell you, folks, plainly and simply, if you don't know the Lord, the half has never yet been told. You ought to come. You've heard about him, but you ain't heard half. You have not heard half of how wonderful he is. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, is there anybody here today that will say, "Pastor, I am not 100% sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. If I died right now, I just don't know for sure, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. Oh, I've heard about him, but I need him as my Savior." Would you raise your hand right now and let me pray and ask God to help you? Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it, and I will pray. I won't embarrass you, I promise, but I will certainly pray that God will help you. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? All right, Father, you know our hearts this morning, and I pray your word will pierce into our hearts and help us and show us our need for the Savior. And Father, I just thank you for these verses and for the Queen of Sheba and what she shows us. And Father, I pray that these words will stick in our minds and in our hearts, and we'll realize what a wonderful Savior we serve. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.